want to welcome you all to CCV on each of our six campuses around the valley. We're glad that you're here. We're in part four of a five-part series entitled Courageous. We began by talking about if you're going to be courageous, you got to think big. Not when your problems are big, but you need to think of your God being big, because if your problems are big and God's small, you're going to struggle. But if your problems, no matter what size they are, if you allow God to be bigger, then you're going to have courage and you can overcome it. Then we talked about overcoming fear. You need courage to overcome fear because fear is a part of life. We found out that we're born with only two types of fear, the fear of falling and the fear of loud noises. That means that every other fear that you and I have, we've learned that. And the good news is we can also unlearn that. Last week, we talked about you need courage to take risk because everything that we do in life involves some kind of risk, and faith and risk are totally related, meaning if you'd say, I want my faith to increase, then you're going to have to take some more risk. Today, we're going to talk about bounce back, because if you live long enough in life, you will experience failure and loss. That's why it takes courage to bounce back. On all of our campuses, many of you are going through things where you need a lot of courage. Some of you have lost your home. Some of you have lost your children to the ways of the world. Some of you have been devastated by divorce. Some of you have been defeated by a bad relationship. Some of you have been discouraged because you can't find work. And I'm sure there's some who've lost your business and you've had to put your retirement on hold. How do you get enough courage to bounce back from failure? Well, the key is we got to read the Bible. Because when you read the Bible from beginning to end, you will see stories of men and women that bounced back from failure. Noah bounced back from the flood. David bounced back from adultery. Daniel bounced back from the lion's den. Ruth bounced back from the death of her husband. Moses bounced back from murder. Joseph bounced back from prison. Paul bounced back from shipwreck. And Peter bounced back from denying Jesus Christ. If they rebounded from failure and bounced back, so can we. Because everyone fails. If you live long enough, you will experience failure. And so the issue is, failure is not fatal unless you don't learn from it. It's not fatal unless you don't learn from it, because if you learn from it, it can be a stepping stone to success. So the question we want to talk about today is, how do you bounce back from failure? If you want to live with courage and reach your full potential, you've got to learn to deal with failure. Every successful person has had to deal with failure. Athletes have to deal with failure all the time. Listen to what this athlete said. I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost over 300 games 26 times. I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot, and I missed. I've failed over and over again in my life, and that is why I succeed. The athlete, Michael Jordan. Jim Glabonsky, in his book, The 25 Most Common Problems in Business, says that if you're not failing at least five times a day, you're probably not doing enough. Isn't that encouraging to all of us? The more you do, the more you fail. The more you fail, the more you learn. The more you learn, the more you grow. And that's why whenever we fail, we need to be reminded that some of the greatest accomplishments in life come after people face a failure. Today, no matter where you're at, God wants to help you bounce back from failure. And there's a great story in the Bible we're going to look at where we see someone bouncing back from failure. It's found in the Gospel of Luke chapter 5. And this story gives us some principles that we can learn from dealing with failure. The first thing is, get Jesus in your life if you want to bounce back from failure. The Bible says in Luke chapter 5, verse 1, one day as Jesus was standing by the Sea of Galilee with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. Jesus got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, whose name was also changed later to Peter, and asked him, "Put out a little from the shore." And then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. You see, that's the starting point for success. You've got to get Jesus in your boat, in your life, in your situation. What I want to ask you on all of our campuses today is this. Is Jesus a passenger in your boat, or is he your fishing partner? There's a big difference. If he's a passenger, he's just along for the ride. It's someone that you can talk to, you can hang out with, have a good time. But if Jesus is your fishing partner, that is someone who's invested in your dream and shares your plans for the future. You say, well, why do I need Jesus as my partner anyway? Because Jesus will change your perspective. Nelson Boswell said, the difference between greatness and mediocrity is how often an individual views a mistake. Why is that so important of how we view our mistakes? Because the problems of our past will cause us to have a breakdown or a breakthrough. I want to repeat that. The things that you and I go through, the failures and struggles from the past, will cause us to have a breakdown or a breakthrough. It all depends on how we respond. Let me maybe illustrate it this way. Do you respond more like Play-Doh or tennis ball? Now, here's some Play-Doh. And if you look at this Play-Doh, when I apply pressure to it, notice what happens. Caves into pressure. It caves into pressure. It does not bounce back. It literally stays that way. It's in original shape. What about a tennis ball? Well, a tennis ball is different. When you put pressure on a tennis ball, initially, it will cave in a little bit, but it doesn't completely stay there. It responds to the pressure, and it goes back to its original shape. You see, success is how high you bounce after you've hit bottom. That's success. How high do you bounce after you hit bottom? And so I want to ask you, when it comes to pressure and stress in your life, how do you respond to failure? Are you more like Play-Doh? Or are you more like tennis ball? You bounce back. You see, people that continue to fail in life, they tend to always think the problem is somebody else's fault. And they're always blaming somebody else for the pressures or struggles they're going through, and they never say it was their fault. If you're going to change your perspective on failure, you've got to change the way you think. And the best way to change the way you think is to read the Word of God consistently. The Bible says this, all Scripture, meaning the Bible, is inspired by God. It's useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what's wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. Or to put it another way, the way to upgrade your mind and your thinking is to download Scripture. Because, you see, reading Scripture changes your thinking. It gives you God's perspective on life, and it helps you understand His purpose and plan for what He wants you to do. And so I want to encourage you, let Jesus be your partner. When Peter made Jesus his fishing partner, the results were incredible. Not only did it make him change his perspective, it also allowed him to eliminate the fear of failure. The Bible says, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Bible says, greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. The Bible says, if God is for us, who can be against us? The Bible says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus is your business partner, you have a different view of success. Because to the world, you see, success is about making a lot of money and climbing the corporate ladder. But to the Christian, success is about making a difference for eternity. What does that mean? It's about changing lives for eternity. Bouncing back from failure begins by realizing we need to get Jesus in our life. And once He's in our life, we need to allow Him then to begin to influence every decision that we make. I want you to listen to the story of Eddie Fisher from our Scottsdale campus and how he was struggling with addiction, and he came to the point where he had to finally turn his life over to Jesus and say, Jesus, I need you in my life. Listen to his story.
I had my first drink at the age of 14. I remember that exact moment to this day. It felt powerful, I felt alive. Yeah, the college years, I was single. I had dated some in my 20s, off and on relationships, but it was the party that I was most interested in. I dropped out of college, and I kind of bounced around in my 20s. I was working you know, in different jobs, but I really didn't have that clear direction. The clear direction that I always had was where I was going on Thursday and Friday and Saturday night. I actually moved from New Jersey to Scottsdale when I was 30 years old. And at the age of 31 in Scottsdale, was at the wrong place at the wrong time, and I met someone who offered me drugs. And for the first time, I actually had a phone number to access those drugs whenever I wanted. And it was like that first drink I took at the age of 14. And something happened to me that it just overtook me. I was in banking and I signed this big, enormous contract. Having success and being broken is very confusing. You know, I'm not good inside, but I'm achieving this wealth and I'm achieving, you know, a different level of earning. But as that went on, my addiction grew. I started using drugs and alcohol every day. It really ended for me the moment. It was a Sunday night. I'll never forget it. I was in my bathroom, isolated, and I looked in the mirror and I got that guidance. It was like God saying, this must all end. I took the drugs in my pocket and I flushed them down the toilet. I walked out of that bathroom door and went right to my bar and I poured every bottle down the drain. That began a road for me of what recovery looked like. I learned a lot of tools. I learned about addiction. I learned about the things that I would need to do on a daily basis to stay clean and sober. But you know, God kept forging me. As I could look back now, God was working on me and directing me. And a dear friend of mine invited us to CCV. My wife and I went to the first service and we both looked at each other and said, we found a home. From that time, we were baptized together. Oh, I don't even know the words to explain, but it's such a beautiful moment to show your love for Jesus Christ with my wife. We anchored that in. God showed me what I was going to do with my life. The opportunity to walk with men and share my experience, strength, and hope with them and guide them in any way I possibly could. We actually moved out, rented another house, so these gentlemen will have a place to finish their walk and bounce back in their own life in a safe, clean Christian environment. Only God can do stuff like that. It's definitely not anything of my own will. As I look back at the 9 years that I have being clean and sober, key to my life has been stop taking and start giving.
Hope you noticed there on the video that he and his wife moved out of their large house so that they can put more boys in their house, and they went and rented a smaller house to use that for ministry, because when Jesus got a hold of his life, things started to change, and now he said, I quit taking and I start giving. That's why the second thing you see if you want to bounce back is you got to get Jesus in your plans. Jesus gave Eddie some totally brand new plans. The Bible says in Luke 5, verse 4, Jesus said to Simon Peter, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night. We haven't caught anything. But because you say so, there's the key, because you say so, I will let down the nets. You see, Jesus' plan involves some risk. Why do you think that Jesus told Peter to drop his nets into the deep water? because that's where the big fish are. You don't become a great fisherman by standing on the shore. Most of us like to stay close to the shore and play it safe, but greater risk often demands greater sacrifice, and greater sacrifice often brings greater reward. Everything in life involves risk. Someone said 20% of all fatal accidents happen when we're in an automobile. So if you don't want to risk, don't drive a car. 16% of all fatal accidents happen in airplanes, railroad cars, and boats. So if you don't want to die, stay away from planes, trains, and boats. 15% of all accidents occur when we're walking down the street. So if you don't want to get killed, stay at home. And yet 17% of all accidents happen at home. So don't stay at home. Go outside and start walking. You see, if you're going to bounce back from failure, you got to be willing to get your feet wet, step out into some deep water, and take some risk. John Wesley Powell was a man who was not afraid of risk. He lost one arm during the Civil War, but he refused to let it hold him back. In 1869, most people thought it was impossible to pass through the Grand Canyon on the Colorado River. In fact, many had tried it, but no one had ever survived. But one-armed Powell thought he could pull it off. So on May 24th, 1869, he and a party of 9 people stepped into 4 small boats and began the 1,000-mile journey. Along the way, they experienced incredible obstacles: high rapids, high waterfalls, boulders the size of cabins. They lost boats. They lost instruments. They lost a lot of food. And yet 100 days later, Powell and 5 men emerged from 2 boats. They were suffering greatly from exposure and near starvation, but they made it. Wait a minute. I thought 9 started. Only 5 finished. What happened to the other 4? One man decided early on that he didn't want to risk anymore, and he turned back. The other 3, after numerous disagreements with Powell, left the expedition. They hiked up the rim of the Grand Canyon only to be killed by Indians. You see, Lake Powell is named after the man who risked his life to travel through the Grand Canyon on the Colorado River. Maybe Jesus' plan for your life involves some risk as well. It also requires obedience. The first attempt of fishing, Simon Peter and his fishing partners used their own skill. They fished all night. They caught nothing. The second attempt, they acted on the basis of their faith in Jesus Christ and filled 2 boats full to overflowing with fish. Now, wait a minute. This is not a fisherman giving other fishermen advice on where to catch more fish. This is a carpenter talking to people that fished for a living and telling them what to do. Jesus didn't tell them in advance either. You do what I tell you, you'll get a big haul of fish. He just said what? Put your nets down on the other side. And when they did it, they simply said, okay, we'll just do it. They obeyed. Obedience requires faith. Obedience believes that God will guide and provide. Lord, we've fished. We know what we're doing, but okay, because you say so, we're going to do it. Obedience brings blessing. If you're obedient to God, you'll find blessing on your marriage, on your family, on your finances, and on your business. But disobedience brings pain. You will suffer setbacks and heartache. So the question is, CCV, why don't you allow Jesus Christ to get involved in your plans? Because it's very simple. His plan works. And his plan is all throughout the Bible. Then you say, why am I not experiencing success? Because maybe you're still trying to work your plan and his plan at the same time, and it doesn't work. CCV, we know the plan, read the word, and then let's go out and work the plan. If you want to bounce back from failure, thirdly, you get direction from Jesus' promise. Bible says when they had done so, when they had done what? When they put their nets over and did what he told them to do, it says they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. Then Jesus said to Simon Peter, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. And so they pulled up their boats on the shore, left everything, and followed him. Can you imagine what that must have been like? You see, Jesus promises to change our thinking. Half of life, I believe, is learning. And in fact, even sounds confusing, but half of learning is learning. Most of what we go to school for is to what? Is to learn. And then we get out of school, and the older we get, we find out that half of learning is what? Unlearning. And unlearning is more difficult than learning because we have some habits that we have to break. And yet, if you look all throughout the scripture, that was Jesus' pattern and primary goal in teaching. The scribes and Pharisees said, do this. Jesus comes along and says, what? You've heard what it was said, but I say unto you, do this. In other words, he said, you have been taught this way. This is how you have learned, but I'm telling you a new way to learn. You need to unlearn that so that you can learn what I have to teach you. I believe the church today in America needs to unlearn some things, especially those of us who live in the Southwest, because if we're not careful, we're still operating as if the church is the home team. 85% of the people in the valley do not go to church. That means only 15% of us do go to church. And if there's only 15%, we're not the majority in the home team. We are the visiting team. And that means if we're going to be successful in this valley reaching people for Jesus Christ, we've got to think differently. We've got to constantly reevaluate our strategy, not change the message. It is true, but we've got to look differently at our methods. That means we've got to change the way we think, the way we do ministry, the way we think about our neighbors that don't go to church. Instead of focusing on what is wrong with your situation or your circumstance, start focusing on what God can do. Begin to change your thinking. You see, today I can complain because the weather is hot, or I can be thankful that the grass is getting sunshine for free. Today I can grumble about my health, or I can rejoice that I'm still alive. Today I can whine because I don't like my job, or I can shout for joy because I'm employed. Today I can get upset that America is headed in the wrong direction, or I can remember God's promise that the Church of Jesus Christ will ultimately win. You see, the way you think will help determine the kind of day you will have. All your campuses, write this down if you would please. The key to success is not to get ahead of others, but to get ahead of yourself. A lot of us think the key in life, man, I got to get ahead of everybody else. No, the key to success in life is you got to get ahead of yourself. Your greatest challenge is yourself. If you're going to be an athlete, you have to practice hard every day. That's why athletes today practice year-round. They're what? They're trying to get ahead of themselves. Each day, decide that you will improve over yesterday. And I believe you do that by the way you think. Jesus promises to change your thinking, but also Jesus promises to change your priorities. Look what happened to the disciples. They went from catching fish to catching people. Do you realize when they arrived on shore, they had the biggest catch of fish in their lives, and they walked away from it all to follow Jesus? What do you think their fishing buddies thought? Oh, you guys, look at all of these fish you've caught. What did you do? Man, you're awesome. Tell us how we can do that. And they said, no, probably you can have the fish. Give it to whoever you want to. We're not going to fish anymore. What are you talking about? How could they do that? How could they walk away from their father's business to follow Jesus Christ? Because Jesus challenged them to look at their life purpose differently. He challenged them to change their priorities. I want to ask you on all of our campuses, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, since you've given your life to Jesus Christ, how have your priorities changed? Since you've given your life to Jesus Christ, how has your priorities changed? How has your priorities changed toward the church? Remember when you first accepted Jesus Christ, you were there every week, you would not miss. How faithful are you now? Is it a priority or is it an option? Well, Pastor Don, I can be a Christian. I don't have to go to church. That is biblically untrue. The church is the bride of Jesus Christ. And if you love your wife, you don't say, honey, I'm going to show up once in a while. You come home every day because you love your wife. The church is the bride of Christ. Stop and think about it. If we allow church to be optional, what does it say to our kids? What other areas of your life do you allow your kids to take options? What if your kids come to you and say, I don't want to go to school this week? What do you say? I don't like your teacher either. I'd stay home too. No. We say, no, you're going to school today. What if they sign up to play in a youth sports league and they say, I'm tired, man. I don't want to go. I'm only going to go 2 days a week, not 5 days a week. You'd say, no, you're part of that team. You show up every day. What about your workplace? If you said, I know I'm effective, but I only want to work Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, they're probably going to get somebody else. Why is it that almost every area of our life, we make it a priority, but when it comes to the Church of Jesus Christ, we make it optional? And if you make it optional, when your kids grow up, they will make it optional. Or how's your priorities changed? Physical fitness versus spiritual fitness. It's okay to work out, but I want to ask you, do you spend more time in the gym or do you spend more time with Him? When it comes to dealing with your finances and your budget, do you do 10% for the Lord first, 10% to save for the future, and we'll live off of 80%? Or is your priorities, Lord, you get nothing, the future gets nothing, I'm just going to spend it all right now and hope somebody takes care of me when I get older? Or what about your use of social media? Do you spend most of your time sharing selfies yourself? Or have you ever found out that you can use that time to share about your faith and the difference Jesus and your church has made in your life? If you want to make a lasting impact on this world, you must see the world from God's perspective. You've got to make His priority your priority. And what's His priority? Jesus said, I came to seek and save the lost. He wanted to advance and expand His kingdom any way that He could. And our mission at CCV is the same as His mission. We exist to win, train, and send. There is no greater mission. There's no greater cause to invest in the Church of Jesus Christ. Listen, I would rather fail in a cause that will ultimately succeed than succeed in a cause that will ultimately fail. The Church of Jesus Christ is the only hope of the world. The church will win. You're a part of a winning team. The gates of hell will not prevail against the Church of Jesus Christ. So I want to ask you, does this story from Luke chapter 5 relate to your life at all today? Maybe you feel like the disciples that before Jesus came along, man, they'd fished all night. They had nothing to show for it. And maybe you're on one of our campuses and you would say today, man, I've worked hard at my job, but I never seem to get ahead. Or maybe you would say, no matter how hard I try, my life seems to be falling apart. Or maybe you would say, you know what? I'm not really making any progress, so I think I'm just going to quit and throw in the towel. Or maybe you would say, I've failed at life, I've failed at work, I've failed at my marriage. I believe my life will never change. And I want to say, if any of you are thinking those thoughts, listen, God's message today to you is this: don't give up. Just because you failed doesn't make you a failure. You can bounce back from failure. Remember, success is how high you bounce after you hit bottom. So what's the takeaway today? Takeaway is this: what's the first thing you need to do to bounce back? Not 100 things. What's the first thing you need to do? Hang with me. Let me give you some suggestions. Maybe the first thing for some of you that you need to do today is get Jesus in your life. You need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Only Jesus can forgive your sin. Only Jesus shed His blood to wipe away all of our sins and remove the past failures from our life, and He can restore us to be what He created us to be. If you've never accepted Jesus today, maybe you need to get Jesus into your life. Or a lot of you have already accepted Jesus as the leader and Savior of your life, but are you letting Jesus be a part of your plans? You see, that's what it means to accept Jesus as your Lord. Oh, it's easy for us to make Him our Savior. We get everything. But when we make Him our Lord, everything has to change. We're no longer in control, and we have to make up our mind, are we seeking first His kingdom, or are we all about building our own kingdom? For most of us, we need to take inventory and admit we've been trying to build our kingdom at the expense of His kingdom. And I would ask you today, maybe the first thing you need to do is go back and put Jesus first in your plans. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Why? We don't have it figured out. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He's Savior and Lord. Acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. We can bounce back from failure as long as we get Jesus into our life and we allow Jesus to be a part of our plans. Let's pray. Lord, today on all of our campuses, every one of us have dealt with failure. And the truth is, a lot of us feel more like the Play-Doh. We find ourselves hitting bottom, and it's just so hard to recover. And the way we talk to ourselves and the way we think just reinforces failure time and time again. I pray today that we would begin to think more like that tennis ball, that we would realize that it's not when we hit bottom, it's how we get up after we hit bottom. Lord, today, no matter what each and every person is experiencing, may we realize that, Jesus, your plan works. And may we begin to get your plan in our life, in our marriage, in our family, in our finances, in our business, in our relationships, everything, Lord, we want to put you first. Thank you for believing in us. Thank you for loving us. Thanking you for giving us another chance. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.